We are scheduled to have question and answers. We will take questions from anybody about any of the issues that you've been listening to today.
I can get it.
But I see one question here in the middle.
One of the speakers mentioned something about Crowley Ridge and topics of river. Is there any connection between Crowley Ridge and the earthquake in 1812 or
the Crowley Ridge?
Maybe Walter did.
I think I may have mentioned that it's Crowley's Ridge is a bedrock ridge. It's not an alluvial ridge, and is underlain by the same Paleozoic rocks that the Ozarks is. And I know of no particular connection it has with the earthquake by its formation. I guess you mean.
Beyond which you're in the river bottom all the way down through Arkansas. So when you hit an area that's wooded and it's a little when you hit an area that's wooded and a little bit higher, not the big hills that you have up in Jefferson County, but after you've sort of gotten below south of Cape Girardeau, south Cape Girardeau. It's the last high spot all the way down through Arkansas.
Maybe we can get the questions on tape two.
Works for me.
Oh, okay. Lisa.
I just wanted to ask Professor Gould if he could estimate the life safety damage or building damage in our Columbia area.
Well, if you would have asked me that question, I guess, a couple of years ago, I would have said it would be relatively slight. But seeing what happened in Washington, in Virginia, and how far that damage propagated, I would suspect that there could be maybe some of the church spires and other structures that are tall, masonry, older structures that could be affected by that. I wouldn't think there'd be large scale damage to ordinary structures, but selectively some chimneys and other tall spires, especially of older buildings, could be damaged.
Okay. I've got two questions. One is, I kept thinking about, in terms of this newer kind of modeling of these, I don't have all the words, but for the New Madrid and the Northern China kinds of earthquakes that are so hard to predict, that are you using models that have anything to do with resonance? Is there something that just popped into my mind that resonance? Is there anything about in?
Is there anything in earthquake prediction models about resonance?
Because I kept thinking it seemed like there was maybe some relationship having to do with that. Anyway, so there's that question. The other one is very specific. There are gas pipelines in Missouri. And I read something somewhere about gas pipelines going into St. Louis. And so that, I've always had this thought that if there were a New Madrid event or a New Madrid-like event, I was always wondered about the gas pipelines and safety issues. So do you address that in your...
That's the second question. There's a number of gas pipelines that go very close to New Madrid and cross there, and they supply... gas to the northeast, so that is a major concern of the effect of a New Madrid earthquake is the interruption to the gas pipelines, and that's included in these damage estimates. Yeah. The first question, I think, if it's I could try to take it, but I think Professor Liu is really able to deal with that.
Well, I guess the simple way to put it is we don't have any model of theory to predict earthquakes. Right now, scientifically, we are not able to make short-term earthquake prediction.
Is there any work going on in that area
still? Research work?
Well, there are few countries, earthquake prediction is still a very active research activity. As I mentioned, in China, the big, very, very big China Earthquake Administration, their official job is to predict earthquakes. But they know, the scientists there face a big dilemma, like the forecasters for weathers. They know that they cannot do that. On the other hand, their job is to predict earthquakes.
And if you're Italy, you'll go to jail if you don't predict them. There's actually two scientists from Italy who were put in jail because they failed to predict an earthquake.
So it's just chaos. If there's such a thing as random, it's random.
It's not totally random. It's just that we don't know enough of the physics of earthquakes to make a useful prediction.
Determinism.
One of them being in relationship to one another.
Right.
And that's why I was thinking of, like, because I'm a musician, so I think of everything in terms of resonance, I guess. I didn't realize that. But just that there has to be a reason why that one spot is resonating with the first spot.
To put it crudely. When you say resonating, you're probably referring to that. Maybe there is a mechanical interaction between faults.
Yeah, exactly.
Problem is that we don't fully understand how they interact with each other. Mm-hmm. So when I show that there seems a complementary energy release, that kind of is the phenomena we see that maybe they are not isolated, they are communicating with each other. The problem is that we don't understand the language they use. So how they are communicating, and especially in intraplate setting, even in central U.S., one of the maps we show here, we have many faults. So we don't know how exactly they talk with each other. And this is an area we're just trying to study that physics.
The eyewitness reports on the New Madrid disaster talked about vapors and fumes and how much funk there was in the air at the time. Is that something that's common? I don't really remember hearing about that at a lot of the other more recent earthquakes that are reported. They seem to really talk a lot about how you could hardly see, the air was so full of green or blue vapors. What was going on with that?
Okay.
It's very interesting. I don't know.
I think one even mentioned the vapors shape like a duck.
I guess I'll venture. I mean, I think it's probably related to the sand blows, is my guess. But I'm waving my arms a little bit. I don't think it is typical and normal. And the smell, I think, in particular, is consistent. And even the subsidence, I think, is consistent with liquefaction. But in terms of the smell and the vapors, I'm not familiar with that being typical in a lot of other earthquakes. Even other ones that have widespread liquefaction, which that's not always the case. How much liquefaction did they have in Wenchuan?
Not much.
Yeah. So there you go.
There's the question. I just wanted to follow up on her question about the safety in terms of the gas pipelines.
Well, the people who design these pipelines, I think, have been aware of the necessity to design those for some level of seismic protection. And in general, I think that's not, you know, public information that you find out. I think the commissions probably that are in charge of the regulatory authorities take a pretty close look at the way that they are designed. Some of them may be designed actually for an inadequate level because they were designed before some of the newer knowledge was out there. But I'm not aware of any public information on those. But it's probable that certainly has been taken into account because, of course, they have a big economic stake in the continuation of the function of those pipelines. Sue, do you know anything about that at all?
What I remember from presentations and conversations with the oil and gas pipeline representatives is that there are shutoff systems, there are gauges that measure the flow and monitor the flow. However, I don't recall anything related to seismic shutoff. Now, in some communities, for certain facilities, vibration shutoff valves have been installed, for example, on the water tanks, the big water tanks, reservoirs, at Cape Girardeau, Missouri. They installed the seismic shutoff valves some years back. The Bloomfield School, which was mentioned, as they were evaluating their structures, one of the things they looked at was where the gas line, where it came into the structure. So they had Ameren come out and take a look at it because they wanted to make sure they had or could install a gas shutoff valve. Ameren looked at it and said, well, this installation is no longer up to our current standards, and we think it should be redesigned and replaced. And the gas company did that without charge to the school district. And they did put in the shutoff valve. So for individual facilities, these kinds of devices can be installed so that you reduce your risk of fire or of carbon monoxide after a disastrous event. In some instances, those shutoff valves may be set up to be affected if something else happens, like the tornadoes that came through Joplin or other areas. But again, it's each one is site specific, and you have to look at what are the conditions there and evaluate. In terms of the overall of the gas pipeline situations, a number of the bridges in Missouri, particularly bridges over the Mississippi River, have conduits attached to the below the bridge floors. In some cases, it's communications network. In some cases, it's the gas and oil. But those industries have been looking at those, to what extent those facilities have been upgraded. You have to look at the individual one and contact the individual company.
In response to the comment about the oil lines, I'm on a safety committee for an organization that is situated right next to a gas station, and one of our responsibilities was to put in place a place and plan for earthquakes. And of course, my question was, well, if the gas station next door goes up, I don't think we're going to need a plan because I don't think we're going to be here. And they were like, well, you know, that gas station has its own plan. So we were like, okay, so what is their plan? So we went next door and asked the student who worked there what the plan was, which of course got the blank look of stared, you know, of stupefaction, like going, what plan? And called the company president, called everybody he could call to figure out what the plan was told there was a turnoff valve button somewhere, and he would be shown where it was the next time the person was in town. So I think what you have to look at was the lack of planning at the local level has a lot to do with how your community is going to respond. And I ran hospital relief, recovery, and rebuilding efforts in South Florida after Andrew, and I can tell you, planning only comes into place after the disaster. It does not come into place before the disaster because people think it's never going to happen. And to sit there and say that there is a plan in place when you're sitting next to a gas station and they'll take care of everything is, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in this day. It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen if there's a law. It's just not going to happen. So you've got to make provisions for your own safety and the safety of the organization you work in, and you can hope for the best. But if you assume that the higher-ups in the gas and oil industry are going to make sure that every station knows where that valve is, and if there's a breach, what happens, you know, that's just not going to happen.
I think that's a really good point. And actually, the commission has, we have a commissioner, I think he's still a commissioner, Greg Hempen, who's at least in this area, running a really great program called Map Your Neighborhood. And that's actually, that's trying to get people on the very small neighborhood scale to organize and get together and put together a local neighborhood plan. And everyone knows one another. Of course, it isn't even applicable just to earthquakes, to anything from tornadoes or to, you know, any kind of natural disaster. So, if you go to the commission website, mssc.missouri.edu, it's hosted here at Mizzou, you'll find all this information about how you can actually localize sort of little cells of people. And it's worked really successfully in places like California and the Pacific Northwest. And I think that's the way you accomplish that. And mentioning other thing, and I have to say, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I've noticed here that, you know, this is always difficult, this sort of intersection between public policy and politics and science, because I think Mian and I have both said, and, well, I don't want to put too many words in Mian's mouth, because we certainly don't agree on everything, but that we don't understand these earthquakes very well. But that doesn't mean they're not going to happen. Now, there's people who can take that and say, oh, well, the scientists don't understand it, so we don't have to worry about it. Other than Seth, I'm not sure any of us would ever say that. So, you know, certainly there's always a tension between, you know, how much money you spend on things. But the unfortunate reality is we just don't understand the earthquakes very well. But that certainly doesn't mean that any of us think that they're not going to happen. I think it means we don't understand exactly where they're going to happen and when they're going to happen. But I certainly would never go so far to say, and you can see if you disagree with that, feel free to jump in and tote the Seth Stein line.
Seth never said that.
Well, he's come out and said that he thought they were finished. That it's done.
There is a possibility that the trend is ending in that particular size.
Right, right. And so even, I guess, in Seth's case, although he seems to argue against a lot of retrofitting, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, he was saying that he was, I think, well, that's a different discussion. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but so because of it's been on my mind, especially because of these other big energy company disasters that we have had on a fairly periodic basis. So, is there a government commission or agency at any level that can prevail upon, for example, let's say we're Missouri. Those responsible for fitting or retrofitting the gas pipelines to make sure that they are safe, since it's such a major issue. I mean, these are so fragile, really. These pipelines are all fragile all over the country, relatively speaking. Is that something that you... Is it...
The Safety Commission has not addressed that issue. We did address the issue of the... Callaway Nuclear Power Plant and the adequacy of the seismic design of that plant, and also has it been appropriately maintained. We visited that. We talked, got full cooperation from Ameren, and we wrote a report that we thought that the seismic design of that plant and also the condition of the plant was up to current standards.
Right.
Meanwhile, because of Fukushima, all of the nuclear power plants had to submit reports on the seismic safety of their plants. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's the Nuclear Regulatory Agency that monitored those reports, and I think probably deficiencies were found. I'm just not familiar with the equivalent agency for the pipelines and gas, and we did not look at that in the Seismic Safety Commission, but I would speculate that there probably are commissions that are responsible for those looking at those plants and state agencies that have looked at this, but I don't know precisely what they are.
Okay, thanks.
I want to thank you all for coming. I learned a lot from this, and I'll take it back. It's not your fault. It's our fault. So thank you very much. Please help me thank our speakers.
Thank you.